Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back. And before we start off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another good morning, beautiful morning. It's nice out, fresh out. Another day we can come and be with each other here in the assembly and being with other believers. Thank you for what we have. Thank you for our trials and tribulations. Thank you for the good times and bad times. Strengthen us and keep us strong, Lord. Keep us going. Keep us in your word and keep us together. And just grateful for all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So, so I started a new job and so I missed the 2 days of church, and it was since I came back, I haven't missed too many, but it doesn't feel right, you know. It doesn't feel right at all, but I'm glad to be back, and glad to be up here. I'm glad to be with everybody. I'm glad to be, you know, amongst the church family. And if we don't So I'm on like a 5 day, it's 5 days off. So I usually work 7, off 1, 7, off 2, 7, and then off 5. And right now I'm enjoying this 5 days off. And it feels good. It was rough, but I got through the rough patches and I'm here and I'm back on track by the grace of God. And I went to a football game. I watched a local football game, high school, so that was fun. And just been with the family and enjoying. And, you know, there's been, I mentioned the trials and tribulations. And while this month, it has been a tough month, you know. But there's been times where I wanted to just quit and stop, but I didn't. I figured out solutions, I prayed, and the Lord sees you through things. So I wanted to share that because I'm here right now, and this month has been pretty tough, but thank God for that. And when I taught before, we were in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and we are in chapter 2, but I'm just going to kind of recap chapter 1, and then we're in verse 7 in chapter 2, but I'm going to start in verse 1 in chapter 2. But as we know, Thessalonica is a church that Paul went. He was there for about, I think it was 3 Sabbaths, so he was there not long at all. He just got beaten in Philippi, just had it rough out there, and he came and he started that church in Thessalonica. He was kicked out of there. He went to Berea, but we're learning that in chapter 1, it was explaining a model church, seeing how they had love, they had hope, and they had faith. And we know that Paul was looking for this in churches, and they were persecuted. We're going to get into more of that. And they were a very model church. They were in paganism, and then they came out of that, and I'm in the wrong one. And we know that that Thessalonians in every chapter, it gives mention to the rapture, gives mention to the hope that we have, and it mentioned that in the first chapter, and now we are in the second chapter. So that's a quick recap of Thessalonians and the first chapter. And we can go to chapter 2, verse 1. We can start. All right. And I'm going to kind of give us a running start into verse 7. For yourselves, brethren, know the saved. So when he says the brethren, he's talking about the saved, because we know that the Thessalonians were saved. And know our entrance, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before, And we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. So we know that Paul had, he went to jail and he was beaten in Philippi. So he came there and he was probably stiff as a board. He just was not feeling it, and he still went and did what he had to do. We were bold in our God to speak. So that bold, that's a strong word there, that bold. Bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So the Jews were always contending with them there. Always contending with him everywhere. Everywhere he went, they would come behind him and just try to mess up what he started. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor in cleanliness, nor in guile. So when we went over that last time, you know, he wasn't there for lies, for sexual uncleanness. He wasn't there for to be deceptive or none of that. But as we were allowed of God, God allows us to do to these things, to be put in trust with the gospel. It's a big calling to be put in trust with this gospel. You know, we have a lot of opposition. We have a lot of believers out there that are under the law, and there's a lot of beliefs out there that are contrary to the truth. So the Lord puts, you know, put in trust with Paul the gospel, and we also. Even so we speak, not as pleasing of men, and it's easy to try to appease the men. You know, they want to, you know, a lot of people are trying to please men instead of pleasing God, but that's not what God wants of us. He wants us to go the hard route and say, hey, you know, the truth is the truth. And to speak it can sometimes create some butt some heads. It's happened to me in the past couple of weeks. So not as pleasing as men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words. He wasn't there to just, you know, flatter them and just try and get over on them, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. He wasn't there for their money. Paul wasn't there to get their money. He wasn't there to live off them. He wasn't there. He was there to, you know, spread the gospel in the honor, in the honesty, and in truth. Nor of men sought we glory. We're not here to get glory from men. We're here to get glory of the Lord, for the Lord. Neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So, we're going to see Paul had a job. He was working for, you know, he didn't want to, even though he could have got money from these people. He could have was able to get money and was able to live off them, but he was setting an example that, you know, we know back then, and I was going to get into that in verse 9, but I can get into it now, but we know back then the tribe of Levi, you know, they didn't work with their hands. They were supported by the other 11, you know, other 11 tribes. And they were the priesthood. And Paul wasn't doing that because that's how they knew that they were men of God. So they probably were telling Paul, hey, are you a man of God? Why aren't you living off tithing and living off these, you know, these things? And he didn't want to be an example of that. He didn't want them thinking that he came for their money, that he came to live off them, to just mooch. You know, that's not what Paul was doing. Paul worked for himself, you know, to support himself. And he didn't want to be burdensome. Okay, so that's the runner-up. So now we're in verse 7. So now we know chapter 2 is describing a model servant. So a model man. So Paul is giving this model of how to be, and this is what we're seeing in this chapter. Verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So I think this is the only place in Scripture that the word nurse is mentioned. And I'm pretty sure what they mean is nurse is another word for mother. And that like a mother cherisheth her children. So you see Paul kind of caring for this church in a mother kind of sense. And You're going to see he nurtures for them, and the father kind of sense here in a little bit. So, you know, what I got here? Yeah. And verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. He was willing to give his life for them and, you know, give up his service, give up his time. I mean, he was in pain. He probably was limping when he was out there. Limping, you know, he probably had so many issues. He was probably wore out, tired, you know, ready to just, you know, give up on what he was doing, you know, but he didn't. So we know that because what happened in Philippi. Verse 9, and here we go. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. So he had a job, and we know he was a tent maker, and he didn't want to be chargeable of anybody, to be like, you're doing this, you're doing that. And we went over it last time when I was up here, but he didn't want to be in debt to them. And we know even in Corinth he worked. And, you know, in Corinth was a rich area. They had a rich church. They had a lot of money flowing through there. He still worked. He didn't want to live off them. And it served him well. You know, he wrote two letters to them. And here today in the dispensation of grace, we work. You know, we work to make a living. We don't want to mooch off anybody, and it sets a good example for the next person. So I went over to tribe of Levi, the priesthood, and so let's go to verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Paul was very careful in his daily behavior. He didn't want to be like a hypocrite. You know, he walked worthy. And today we want to do the same, obviously. Sometimes we hiccup, you know, like I want to say my new job, you know, there's a lot of guys, they were interested. There were some guys that were interested in the gospel. So I was able to give some, their hearing, you know. I was able to give some stuff, and that's good, you know. And I want to, if you guys have time, pray for them. Because they, there's people that are interested, and we got some. But I kind of goofed one day. And, you know, I did something that wasn't nice, and it didn't look right, you know. And I'm being honest about that because, you know, we fall and we get right back up. We're not perfect, you know. We're not perfect, but I apologize to the individual, and, you know, hopefully this sets a stronger setting so we could move forward with talking about the gospel. Because he's unsaved. One of the guys I got into it too was unsaved. And we pray for him as well. But it's just that one little miss-up, you know. That saying, you know, it takes a lifetime to build a reputation, but you can lose it in one event. You know, you can look bad and people, it'll take a while for them to be like, remember when you did that? But they forget all the other things, you know. They forget all the other things that you're doing, but they remember that thing. So, and Paul was setting in a good example. As we see in chapter 2, that's what he's doing. He's trying to be a model servant, model man, and setting a good example for the Thessalonians. I mean, he must have, if he was only there 3 or 4 weeks, I mean, he must have had some kind of gusto to him that they were like, man, this guy, maybe we follow this guy, you know, which follows Christ. They're not following him or worshiping him, but they must have seen something that was like, okay, well, this guy, we can hop on board and follow the Lord with this guy, because he's, they probably might have heard of him too. He was, you know, he was Saul of Tarsus at one time. They were, so, Okay. Verse 11. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. So see, there's that father aspect. Now you've seen the mother aspect, how he's caring about him, how he's got, there's a father aspect there that he comforted. Remember, fathers, it's comfort their sons, comfort, you know, the not to bring them up to anger, and charged every one of you. So he was kind of, you know, letting them know, hey, this is what it is. He's, you know, being a father figure to them. And establishing, I'm sure he had a lot. He was sharing the mystery. He had a lot to talk about. He had a lot to establish. And it worked. You know, it worked. And he set up that church 3 or 4 weeks. So that sounds almost impossible, but we all know with the Lord, all things are possible, right? So, all right, moving forward. We're kind of going through these ones pretty quickly, but we got some going on. Verse 12, that ye would walk worthy. There goes that walking worthy. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called unto you his kingdom and glory. For this cause, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So here we know this is that conversion. This is a conversion that these Thessalonians believed, and Paul was happy that they were saved. You know, he was thanking God and ceasing not. I mean, he got a whole group of individuals to go to heaven and to have an established in the heavenlies. I mean, it's got to feel good, you know, when you can establish a church like that. And that was one of the things that was keeping him going. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. So I want to get into. So, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, we're going to kind of go through some scriptures pretty quickly, but here we're going to see that Christ wants us to be saved. You know, this is what this is his whole purpose. He loves us. He wants to bring people into glory. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Alright, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. See, he did this for us, for every man. He tasted death for us. He didn't have to, but he did. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You know, he brought many sons into glory. That's God's will for us, is to be saved, and he's brought many of them. And Paul was brought the Thessalonians in to be saved, and it's got to feel good, and that's our duty as well. You know, and let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. So we're going to kind of see some principles here. A lot of people like to debate about things. They like to debate about politics. They like to debate about many things. But when you're grounded in principle, this is a whole different. When you know principles, this is what I was trying to tell the boys. Principles are the things that come first. Okay, once you know principles, all that stuff goes out the door. You know, I was asked that one trick question that people ask is, what are your sources? When you're bringing up a subject, what are your sources? Well, first off, principles are first. So once you know principles, you can go to all sources and decipher what's good, what's bad, and you know truth. So that's a subject in its own, but I wanted to say that about principles. Principles, I think, is what people today are missing. You know, they don't understand principles maybe about health or about God's word or about politics or whatever. But, and we know we don't want to get into all that, but there's a, that was a trick question that people try to ask. What are your sources? They try to flip you upside down, but in reality it's principles. We know principles, and these are the principles that God has set that we want to, that people, that he wants people to get saved. So Proverbs 11:30, and I need to get there. 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The Lord says, when you try to win souls for him, you're wise. It's a principle there. That's a proverb, shows a lot of principles on how to be and how to live. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Proverbs has a lot of good stuff. I know a lot of people like to stick into Proverbs, and I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in there, but you know, we know that Paul's epistles gives us our marching orders for today. And I plead with you, whoever's listening, get into Paul's epistles, because they're our marching orders. They're what God has us to be. Those are our main principles for today. But Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So there's a strong language there. The Lord says, when you're trying to get people to know this truth, to know this gospel, you're wise. And whatever dispensation it was. But that's just a principle. We know today we're to the saving gospel is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. That Christ died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and that you know, you believe those things. You believe that Christ did this for you. You're saved. There's no if, ands, buts about it. There's no works. There's nothing you could do to merit favor with God. You just believe. And God wants you to share that with others. So, and we know Paul shared that with the Thessalonians, and it must have worked. He got a whole church. And even through the persecutions that they suffered, they went through it. Okay. So let's go back. You know what? Let's go to 1 Peter 1:23. And then we have, we know Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, people have to hear this. They have to hear it. It's James 1:21 calls God's word the engrafted word, of God, meaning implanted. Somebody's got to say this to somebody so they can hear it and get saved. You know, they have to. God obviously opens, you know, does the saving, but we have to introduce this to others so they can hear this, because that's a faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. sorry, I'm getting distracted. 1 Peter 1:23. I'm not even there. Okay. Okay, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's word lives and it abides forever. It is forever and ever. And just to back up what I was saying about that engrafted word, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2:10. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And we know in Acts 16, the Lord opened Lydia's heart after she, and I think we're going to go to that one too, but you'll see that it says she heard. And then Lydia's heart was open. But she heard, she had to hear God's word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So these receive not. I think this is referring to that they heard it, but they didn't receive it. So they didn't receive this, but people have to hear it, you know, and they would receive it. They didn't receive it, and you know, that sadly, a lot of people in the world, they hear it, but they don't receive it, and it's a sad thing sometimes. But that's why, when we study, when we try to better ourselves, we want to be more, I wouldn't say articulate, but to be able to provide the scriptures with love. Because remember, love, faith, and hope. You know, I know a lot of people, they want to talk about God, but I don't see a lot of love back in that. And I remember I used to be that way when I was younger. I would talk about it, but I'd be like, you're doing this wrong and you're doing that wrong, and there's no love behind that. There's just, you know, you're trying to prove your point and not hear what, you know, not seeing where they're at in their walk in Christ, or where they're at in their walk in life. Because people are in their own walk, and they're in their own walk, and just seeing them where they're at, you know, showing grace. Okay, well, that person doesn't know that much about any or a lot of things. So, but to be able to present the gospel in a loving manner, patience, plant a seed, you know, and that's where I was kind of convicted this week, because when that happened at work, I was like, oh man, you know, it wasn't very nice, you know. I got into it, but I apologize and been working on myself, because that's all we can do, right? We see our faults and we just try to be better, you know, and let the Lord work in us. So, all right. It was cooler earlier. Now it's getting hot. I think you turned off the air. All right. So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Hopefully that made sense. It was a little. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 2 and verse 14. Yeah, we're just going through these verses. So he prayed. Yeah, and you, on verse 13, real quick. So you see that the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as in truth. So they received it in truth. Verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So I remember Lori asked me about that, and that was I had gotten it wrong. But yeah, those are the kingdom saints in Judea. The unbelieving world hates Christ. This world does not like the Lord, does not like the truth. Definitely don't like Paul's message. Definitely, Satan adjusts himself in each dispensation to what he'll allow other things. You know, he'll allow the law to commit and things to happen. But when it comes to truth, he's attacking this message, and you could see it. You could tell. You know, it's. Paul's epistles are in the Bible. So why, if I am sharing it with somebody that they want to gnash and they want to lash out, and when it's part of the same Bible that you're reading, you know? And I, in my opinion, I know people sometimes are just blinded by traditions of men, but like, I think sometimes people just aren't honest and don't check it out. like don't really want to see and be like, okay, well, let me give an honest visual and check and see if this is true. And we know that it is. So, and here we see that the Thessalonians were being persecuted, just like the kingdom saints. And they weren't just being persecuted for believing in the Lord. They were being persecuted for following Paul. Remember the Jews, they would come right behind Paul and just be like, that's not, you know, they were Gentiles, Thessalonians. So we know that Israel was the head and they were like, they didn't want to share this to the Gentiles. They didn't want, and and this is the same God, you know, the Jews and when they were under the law, it's the same God, just Christ under the mystery. So so the Jews, they suffered, and so does, and so did these kingdom, and so did they suffered. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Their own people would put them down. Even the Jews, their own countrymen, the Jews in Thessalonica, they would put them down. That's just what they were doing, putting them down, bringing them down. You're not part of the, you know, you're not part of what we're part of. That's a lie. What Paul's teaching is a lie. We're under the law. We're under this. We're under that. In Acts 8, verse 1, you see that Judea had a great persecution. They weren't just getting persecuted. It was great there. It was happening big time out there. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Let's just go to Acts chapter 17. Let's see what we're talking about here. Acts chapter 17. And we know that this is, you know, pertaining to Thessalonica, but it's good to come back and look at it.
Sorry, Oscar, 7 or 17?
Oh, 17. Chapter 17. And then verse 1. Verse 1. Yep. This is kind of just going to build up to when I go to 1 Thessalonians into verse 15. But okay, verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. So you see the Jews were there. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture. See, they were there for 3 Sabbath days, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preached unto you is Christ. See, he was bold. He went in and said it how it was. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company to set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out of the people. So one thing I want you to see here is that the Jews, they've always sneaky and subtle when they're doing their dirty work. And they always get other people to do their dirty work. They're not getting their own hands dirty. They're getting the other people. So, verse 13, we see it was their conversion. Verse 14, we see that persecution. So, and then verse 15. So, I wanted to set that up because we're going to get rolling. But let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. So you see that they always do that. They do that very often. And I'm going to show you an example of who they did that. They did it to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Verse 15 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So, verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. That's strong language there. So these guys killed the Lord, their own prophets, persecuted them. I mean, it's just like, geez. Oh my goodness, you don't want to even be around these people. They're so I don't know what to call it, hateful, I guess, or they don't want to, they just believe what they believed and they weren't trying to hear anything else. But they had a judgment coming on them. And Acts 13, I'm not going to, you know what, Acts 13, and we're not going to go there just yet, but remember when Elymas, he was blinded for a season, and that was a type of, you know, Israel being blinded for a season. And to prove that, let's go to Romans chapter 11. And we're going to see that, but Romans chapter 11. In verse 25. So I want to see that just a thing that they killed Christ, they persecuted them, and they, that's just, it's bad news what they were on. But verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, "There shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." And the emphasis there is on that verse 25, where blindness has been part of. See, that's word for word. As no one made it up, no one thought of it. God's word is saying it. That's what happened. That's what's happened to them, and that's what's happening to them today. And let's go to Luke chapter 23. So now I want to show you where they, using other people to do their dirty work. See, the Jews were exalted. Luke chapter 23, verse 1. The Jews were exalted, but this proves that they were the same as the Gentiles. They were not, even though they were the chosen people, they were the same. They had the same sin. They had the same, they had a rebellious, Adamic sin nature. And I'm just this is to show that Jews always, like, they have other people to do their dirty work. Chapter 23, verse 1. "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate." See, they had Pilate do their stuff. "And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." So I'm sure if they wouldn't have done that, they would have been like, "Oh, it's just some Jewish sect down the street." But once you start saying, "Hey, there's a king in town," and once you start saying, "Hey, this guy doesn't like Caesar," then that's going to ruffle some feathers, you know. So that's just that subtlety and that sneaky and Satan behind all that, you know, what the Jews were doing. So once you start doing that, then you're going to, then Rome woke up and was like, "Okay, well, we got to see a king. There's a king coming over here trying to take what we have." No, that's not how the thing is. That's not how it goes, you know. So that's just some proof there. But let's go to Romans chapter 9. Yeah, we're jumping a lot today. So Romans chapter 9. Even though Paul was saying these things about the Jews, you think he hated them or you think he loved them? He loved them. And they were out to get him, out to kill him. There's no, someone's trying, your own people just out to kill you, out to get you. Like, you have, everywhere you turn, you got to watch your back. And that's what he had to do. But I'm going to prove to you that Paul, that even people who hate Jews, that's not, whoever's on the anti-Semitism, you know, that's a, like a big thing they're trying to bring out. Right here, right now, that's foolish. You don't want to be hating anybody, first off, but to hate the Jews because they killed Jesus and all that, I'm going to show you that it wasn't just the Jews who killed Jesus. But here I'm going to show you first that Paul loved them. And this is some strong language here from Paul. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Basically what he's saying there, I wish you could take my place for them. You know, I love them so much because they're so bad. He's like, he would rather he would take the place of their burdens and what they're doing. And because he loved them. He said, I say in truth in Christ, and to my conscience bear witness. Do we love someone who persecutes us that much? I don't know. Well, Paul did. Maybe we should have that kind of love for our enemies. People who are, I don't know, no one here, someone's, no, I know no one's trying to kill you. I know that there's probably people that don't like you. You know, there's probably people that talk behind your back. There's probably people that, you know, they don't even talk behind your back. They talk crap in front, in your face. They talk to you, bad to you in your face. So, you know, love them. Pray for them as you would, you know, give a. And I think Moses is the other person that kind of explained that kind of love for another. Where he wanted, my people are so messed up, you know, that I wish that I can put myself in the fire for them. Just to help them. Let's jump to verse chapter 10, verse 1. And this is one more. The next chapter. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. See, he wanted them to be saved. Even for his own people's own kinsmen. We got people that we know that, you know, our own family, that they don't believe. They don't, you know, we want them to be saved. And so Paul knew what we were going through. He knows what we were going through. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Back to this business of Jews killing, you know, the Jews killed Christ. Okay? We know that. But let's just see what God's Word has to say about that. So, Acts chapter 2, verse 22. I'm going to jump through three verses, and then we'll kind of go over them. They're right next to each other. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, and know that this is Peter. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, and ye yourselves know. Oh, did I get my verses mixed up? I think I did. Oh, yeah. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. So here, Peter's charging them, you killed Christ, wicked hands, slain him. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 12. Let's see what we got here. It's the next chapter over. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? This one I got mixed up too. The God of Abraham. Oh, here we go. Verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murder and granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. So they killed the Prince of Life there. And then in chapter 4, I got a point, so we're going to go through these and then I'll go through them. And then in chapter 4, verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, that to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. So, you see that there, Peter's charging them, hey, Jews killed Christ. Okay, we have three examples here. All right? But same chapter, verse 27. Let's see here. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. So it wasn't just the Jews that killed Christ. It was the Gentiles as well. So all these people, the anti-Semitism, where they want to be mad at Jews for what reason, whatever. Well, you got to be mad at yourselves too. The Gentiles did it as well. They were. They both did it. Okay. So they both killed Christ. They both. That's why everyone is guilty. Everyone. You know, there's no, oh, the Jews, this, and that. No, you got to take that out of your, you got to take that out of your thinking. So why did Peter talk to them? Because he held them responsible. They knew what they were, Israel knew what they were supposed to. They were supposed to accept the Messiah. They were the ones that had all the knowledge and information. So that's why Peter's charging Israel, because it's there. They should have known better. So Peter, we've seen, says that the Jews delivered him up. Well, Paul says something different. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And this is a dispensational change here. Okay, so now we're not blaming Jews no more. We're not. Peter was blaming Jews. Okay, so everyone, the anti-Semitism going on, you're in the wrong dispensation. You're in the wrong... Paul said something different here. Okay. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. This is verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, that's a good verse right there, right? Yeah, we got the Lord. So, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, who shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So that verse is saying that God delivered the Lord Jesus. And we've seen the verses before. Peter was saying that the Jews with the Gentiles delivered him up. There's something different here now. Paul is saying that God delivered him up. And this message, so that's showing a dispensational change. And there's so many things that are saying, hey, this is different, And there's so many truths, so many proofs, so many of these things that are showing us. But God wants the message of Paul to be preached, not the message of Peter. And that's just one thing showing, hey. I mean, there's so many in the book of Acts. We know pastors going through them, and it's just constant, constant, constant. And I'm kind of running out of time here. So, but I think I could Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:1. This will be the last verse. I'll probably, next time I come back, we'll get back into verse 15. But let's see. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. All right. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So today, I brought that verse out because to please God, Lord, we have to be in Paul's epistles. Knowing Paul's epistles, you have to get your information from Paul. That's, if you want to please God today, get into these epistles, and that's what I wanted to. That's a good spot to leave at. So, any comments? Anything? Go ahead.
One thing Jesus also said is, "You do not take my life from me; I give it." So.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and he could have jumped right off that cross if he wanted to, or he could have his angels come and help him. I mean, there's so many scenarios, but
yeah, when you were talking about with God delivering them all, look back at Abraham when he was going to sacrifice Isaac. You know, I think that's like a type of picture of what God
did. Yeah.
Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus said, "Father, take this cup from me, but not my will done, but yours be done."
Amen.
Jesus knew that God was going to deliver him
off. Yeah, and we've seen that verse, the determining council, where they and Israel, that's where we've seen where Peter was charging the Jews because they should have known. You know, they had a lot of prophecy. They should have known that it was him, that it was the time that this guy. Okay, all these things are happening. He fits the everything to the T, but they just didn't. So now they're blinded. We've seen that in Romans. They were blinded in Romans 11, and so the Thessalonian church. That's where we're going through chapter 2, where they're that model servant, that model man, where Paul's, he wasn't there for their money, wasn't there to, woo, they were, for the women, the chief women when they were there. He wasn't there for none of that. He was there to be an ambassador for the Lord and to, like we've seen, those principles that you're wise when you try to bring souls for the Lord. So he calls you wise. And, okay, well, let's close off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity just to talk about your word, just to get into it, just to have it spoken in the air, just to let it fill in our hearts, to contemplate these things, to think on it, to bounce back, to, even if things didn't sound good to people, at least it's out there and people can meditate on your word, Lord. We hope the Holy Spirit just gravitates towards everyone that's heard, and that they can take these truths, understand them, apply them in their life, and just the next person next to you, that we can talk about the gospel and just say, hey, you could be saved and live forever. And that's a beautiful thing, and we have that, and we're so grateful and so appreciative and so thankful for the saints here, the fellowship, and everybody here. And we want to give you honor and glory and just be thankful for all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.